This episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is dedicated in memory of Patrick Haynes.
What is that?
Oh, well, there's a guy that I hire to cut my lawn. Ooh. And all that.
Really now?
He's riding close to my back window. Which
That's
is
what she I'm said.
Saying. Is that all he does, Mary?
he trims my bushes.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sure he does.
I'm glad we haven't started the podcast.
I was thinking Desperate Housewives for a minute then.
Yes.
So until he's done with the grass in my backyard, you're going to hear him.
I love the way you inserted the words "in my backyard." Just as...
Okay, any better now?
Not really, but never mind.
No, it's not a never mind.
We can't do anything about it, though. Oh, poor Kirby.
Let me do. I've got a few more. I see some more things.
Okay.
Why is it poor Kirby, but whenever it's Robert and I, you just make fun of us?
Because Kirby sounds genuinely upset about it. You two are just feeling quite pleased.
I'm genuinely upset about it when you go,
but
you guys live way too far away for us to go do anything to you.
Yeah.
Or you to us. I should say you to us. Okay.
I'm worried about Perry's 40.
I give. I'm not talking anymore.
Yeah. I shall return.
Okay.
Quick, Adam, start. Quick. Start. Quick.
Entropy's taking its toll on Kirby's computer.
When I was in work earlier today, I found out that one of the nurses I work with has a son-in-law that has a massive Doctor Who DVD collection.
I love the way you put in the pause between the massive and massive. Doctor Who DVD collection.
I love the way you keep picking up with the pauses that she puts in there, Adam.
I wish he didn't live an hour away from here. I'd be borrowing.
Oh, greatest DVD collection, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He could always burn some for you.
Well, it wouldn't be much fun if they were burned, would it, when they were to play him, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah.
Look how much Ian's done.
I know.
It's a whole heap, isn't it?
Mm. What on earth was that noise?
Yeah,
sorry, I was blowing my nose.
Oh, I see. Oh. Andrew Cartman's online.
Oh, well,
let's add him instead. Let's
That'd be funny. Yeah. Give him a ring and let's see.
It'd be funny if it came on and just been having a chat with that stuff, and then Kirby sort of in the middle who comes in. Even funnier if it was like someone like Colin Baker or Tom Baker or something.
Oh yes, yeah.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, Tom. Oh, hello, Kirby.
Oh.
Oh my!
It is the end, but the moment has been prepared for, Adam.
I might go and make a cup of tea, actually, because I need to be waking up.
Yes.
So, Reese, are you looking at a career in the theater? That's when you seem to get the most enthusiastic in your posts, whenever you are involved in the theater.
You notice that? Yes, that's what
just
I want to try.
Just a little bit,
I wouldn't mind, you know, any kind of acting production, but theater is so fresh and alive, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to hopefully, like I've said before, do that acting course at university next year. And okay. I'll learn TV production and professional writing, apparently, an introduction to that. And I'll learn about stage acting and screen acting. So I'm going to basically get into both fields if I can.
Okay. Now, you're in university, so... Are you headed for a particular degree or certificate? Or
There's a Bachelor of Arts in Acting for Stage and Screen that I'm applying for. And
okay. Do you have to audition to be in that program?
I do, and I think the auditions are towards the end of next month.
Okay.
Which is exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time.
Oh, yeah. What do you have to prepare?
They've sent out an audition pack to people who are interested, so I've got a little lecture.
Prepared for.
Yay! He's back.
We've already done that. We've already done that gag.
What was I saying?
Any better?
I got an audition pack from
Lunch.
Yeah.
So in it are the things you have to work on?
Yeah, they've got a collection of monologues for both men and women, and you can select which ones you want to do, or you can select one from their audition pack and another one that you've done before that, or that you quite like, and as long as it's about 3 minutes long in total.
That's what she said.
Wow. Sounds so familiar. Along with all your other work, you're also preparing this audition.
Yes.
Wow.
I am, yes.
Oh, wow.
You are ambitious.
That's why I'm tired most of the time.
Yeah. Well, good for you and good luck.
That's why you don't.
I should say break a leg.
Ow!
So, what's going on since I've been gone for so long?
Adam's
gone typing us. He's typing us already.
Tape?
Well,
how primitive.
Recording.
He went to make himself some tea.
And Toby Hato came online for a minute. We chatted with Tom Baker for a couple of minutes. He had just finished an interview and then went away again.
Yeah.
He just happened to catch him.
I asked Eccleston if he wanted to come on, but he said, is this a Doctor Who podcast? No way.
Hell no.
Now you got to get the accent right.
That's true.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I could do a Glaswegian accent for the play that I'm doing, but I can't do anything else other than that.
One word I can never get whenever I try to sound British is the word no. There is a unique way that it is said.
No,
something like that. And it's like, I love
it. Okay, Mary. That sounded okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah. I don't know. It's a halfway between nay and no, and I can't quite hit it. But
well, it depends exactly what accent are you doing. If you're doing what's his name for Batman, Butler, you could be that could sound all right. No.
Right. Well, no. That is. I'm looking. You know, for Lower East Side.
Oh boy.
Ooh, this door is opening and closing.
Well, Adam's daughter, Alicia, she says it perfectly.
Yes.
That's because she is British.
Yeah.
I know. But of all the Britishisms, you know, that I've tried to do, that word, no, totally defeats me.
I think
I'll give you a challenge, Mary.
Teenage version of no, which is no.
Yes. But give Mary a challenge today to do the whole podcast in a British accent.
Oh, God. What do you think?
Then I'll sound just as bad as Tegan trying to do an Australian accent.
That she is Australian.
She is Australian.
She is Australian? My goodness.
I thought the same thing too, though, Mary. I thought it was pretty shocking for some reason.
Yeah, if sometimes she was laying it on very heavily and sometimes it wasn't there at all.
You know what I think it is? I think it's the swear words that they've given her, like struth and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Hell, I don't know what she said. Vanessa.
Yes, when she's doing the table.
But like in one scene, she's really, you know, heavily Australian, and then I don't hear it for a while.
It felt,
I think that
must have been a direction of some sort, because
I think it was John Turner.
Yeah, she actually sounds fairly British when she's talking normally, I think, but because they wanted an Australian companion, they obviously told her, well, lay it on thick, love.
Yeah, and then when she would forget, they'd say, you know, come on, you said you'd do Australian, so then for one or two scenes, she's...
That's my theory, because even for an Australian, it sounded pretty bad.
Well, of course, I should say this in the podcast, but I read where the reason they brought in Tegan, an Australian, is because at this point, the Australian ABC was talking with the BBC about co-producing. So they wanted to draw in more Australian
viewers. Yeah, that was in the infotext.
I can't find Kirby anywhere.
Well, I didn't see the infotext.
It's on.
I know, I'm joking. Right, can I start now?
No.
Since I have a feeling someone just took my quote, I'm rapidly looking for another quote.
Oh, so how long we got to wait for that?
Taking your quote. We haven't even started yet.
Yeah,
20 minutes.
Nobody's done a quote yet.
Right, can I get going?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a comment came through on one of our little threads on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, in which somebody said that, and I think it was Chris Kane from Isle of Wight Doctor Who fans, he said that the podcasts are too long.
That's what she said.
Yeah. And somebody else said...
I saw that and I disagree with it.
Did you?
Well, I kind of agree with it.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I said that a while ago to you, Adam.
What, the podcasts are too long?
No. I'm just saying it may be for some people, because I know when I was looking for podcasts to listen to, I was looking for ones that are around the hour mark, simply because if you're listening to several podcasts, you're going to pick this probably the shorter one to listen to, aren't you?
Right. I tend to leave this to last because it is so long.
Yeah.
Well, can I just point out
that I do try and make the podcast shorter, but some things get in the way. So he suggested that...
We're things.
Yeah. No, maybe we shouldn't do the quiz.
Are we going to let one person once again try and throw a monkey wrench when they may not
be
the...
He said monkey wrench.
I know you mean, Kirby.
I know. Spanner. Yeah. Thank you.
Then, right...
It's just one person. It's like the girl a few weeks ago who was complaining. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think anyone else has complained about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will just point out, Rhys, that I do actually try and make the podcast as short as possible, but it always ends up being 2 hours. Then he went on to say that we shouldn't bother reviewing a story because... that just goes on a bit too long. And then Dinos Daniel, he said...
No, I didn't.
...that he couldn't hear me last week, so he sort of turned it off. But I was down the right-hand channel, listeners. Today I'll be in the middle so everybody can hear me. Go on, Rhys.
Yeah, Adam.
Yes?
No, I was just going to say, because being deaf in my left ear, if you were on the left channel, I wouldn't been able to hear you.
Okay, I'll go
speak
down.
Up, Robert.
You know what I mean?
Go down the middle.
What are you saying? So it is good if you're in the centre.
What?
Oh goodness.
I have noticed that when we're reviewing the classic stories, the runtime for the episode has increased. I think I've managed to avoid any innuendo then.
Well done.
But I also have noticed that we take an awful long time with the quiz too, and
that's
someone, Kirby, gets very pedantic.
Someone's
in the
trying
too.
To get out of the quiz again.
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm not trying to get out of the quiz. I've actually got lots of notes, and I feel
it's interesting to note. We've got these people providing air feedback for the show, and a certain member of the podcasting team didn't even listen to only listen to the podcast when he's on it. That sounds a bit like Ben. In fact, he never used to listen to podcasts full stop, actually.
Yes.
Anyway. I wonder who you're suggesting, because I've since heard that episode, mister.
Only because you wanted to make sure nobody said anything about you.
I pay paid services in association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 185. I'm Adam, and with me this week, thank goodness, is Mary Lang.
There must be intelligent life at the end of this lot.
Robert Haynes.
Hello? Anybody receiving me? Hello?
Kirby Bartlett looking up his, quote, Sloan.
Hell's teeth, Auntie Vanessa. It's a flat.
Rhys Parton.
At last, Doctor, at last I've cut you down to size.
And Tom Riddle. Tom. All right, Matthew, go on.
I think we've been spared a very difficult conversation.
What, about Tom Riddle?
Yeah, well,
Oh, death. Someone's smoke alarm's just gone. Oh no! It's
yeah,
just...
that's my beeper.
Oh, isn't that ironic?
Ooh. I'm gonna sign up. I'm gonna mute my microphone for a moment.
Okay. Isn't that ironic? She said at the beginning that she might be called away, and then we just get started recording. Off she goes. Yes.
It's my fault, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes, Kirby.
Yes, Kirby, you should be ashamed. Oh, no, wait, it's not that bad.
Yes. Okay, right, so this week we're going to be talking about Logopolis, or as some other people like to pronounce it, Logopolis, which is really ironic. I find it quite ironic when people like to mispronounce Doctor Who titles, like the Rebos operation, when in the story he pronounces it as Rebos, yet the Australians like to call it Ribos and things like that.
Because that's what it is.
What Australians?
Australian people. Like to call it the Rybos operation.
Like Trevor.
Or a shy phrase. No,
I know it's the Rybos operation.
Some Australian people. Yes, go on, Kirby.
Master, I mispronounced Logopolis for years and years and years because I didn't see it until maybe 5 years ago.
That's acceptable.
I was extremely aware of it, but I moved away from any place that broadcasts the show, and it wasn't until I got DVD.
Just wonders if anybody's ever seen or not seen the first episode of the new era of Doctor Who, the Christopher Eccleston's first story, and wondered if the title was called Rosé.
No.
That would be funny.
If there was one of those little symbols above the E, maybe, but no.
Yeah.
Maybe. Right. What are we to do with No Mary?
Carry on.
Thing is, she might still be to hear this. She says she's just muting the microphone. And it's really a shame because I really wanted to drop in some bush trimming gags and stuff like that.
I'm sure you did.
Damn.
Did you want to pop in for some bush trimming?
Oh, dear. Right. Logopolis.
Okay. Oh. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My microphone wouldn't mute. I am getting called into work, so I need to sign off. I'm sorry.
Well, it was nice to hear for about 20 minutes before we even started recording.
Before we started recording.
It's my fault.
And that man never got to finish trimming your bush either.
Yeah, he's done. He's gone.
Okay.
Just to let you know, I will not be around on Sunday.
That's good, because we're not recording Sunday next week.
Oh, we're going to do Monday? Okay. Yes. All right. Bye-bye, guys. I'll talk to you then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, we'll never know.
We'll find out what she thought of it.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't like it very much. I found it very confusing.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Ooh. I liked it up until episode 3, and then it just started going all pear-shaped for me.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. That's 3 episodes out of it.
Quite good. Vanessa.
Well, maybe we could try and remember to ask you why next week. Okay. Right.
Okay.
So, thanks, right. Mary. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right. Logopolis begins with the Doctor Who title sequence. Yes, Reese.
It's not by any call, Bill.
I thought it was Legopolis, not Logopolis, when I first heard it.
Legopolis.
Right. It starts off with a police box, and this reminded me a little bit of Unearthly Child,
and
because
you talking at the phone.
Yeah, that's sad, but the police box, isn't it?
Beg your pardon? Oh, yeah, no. Yes, because you remember Unearthly Child began with a policeman and a police box. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And then the Doctor and Adric wandering around the cloister room.
And also Del and the Bannerman.
Did it? Oh, yes, it did.
I think. Yes.
So, yeah, entropy is taking over the TARDIS, etc., etc.
As is it with the host of this podcast.
What are you talking about me?
No, I'm saying that we're disappearing one at a time. It must be entropy. Yeah,
maybe so. As I was saying, Matthew Waterhouse, who plays Adric, gets quite a lot of stick. I reckon, and it's come to dawn on me while watching this, that mainly the amount of stick that he got was jealousy from Doctor Who fans who wanted to be in his position. Because, having watched these episodes, I didn't think he was at all bad.
No.
Bit cheesy. But I think that's because of the characters around him. Rather, when he's with Tom Baker, just him and Tom, I think he's fantastic. Mm. I think he really plays the part well. It's just when he gets tangled up with Tegan and Nyssa that it goes a bit pear-shaped for him. And I think that's a bit of a shame.
I think the problem
is... And I love the way I was just going to say that I love the way Tom interacts with him, like when he's talking to Monitor later on, and Monitor's explaining the whole block transfer computation. The way Tom was looking at Adric as he was working his way through it and understanding it, there was a big grin on his face, and I just thought it was nice and subtle, but it kind of built on their relationship.
Yes, indeed. So we meet Tegan, and at the time when Tegan became the companion, and I was 15 years old, and I was absolutely smitten with Janet Fielding, and I sent a letter off to her at the BBC, because obviously at the end of the series looked like she'd left, and I got a postcard back, signed postcard, saying, "To Adam, I return, love Janet Fielding." Unfortunately, I've since lost that postcard, but it was nice to have it.
Hell's teeth.
But yeah, that was my first ever interaction with a Doctor Who actor.
Crikey.
So I knew she was coming back before she actually started filming the second series that she was in. So that was quite good. Now, I was watching Tom Baker quite closely in this story, and I initiated this smile watch, because his character or his characterization of the Doctor was well known for its smiling. There was about two smiles in the whole story.
Yeah.
And they were sort of like ironic smiles rather than genuine ones.
He gave one with the, you know, when he's was shouting at Adric, he says, "Don't shout." And then he starts the TARDIS and he smiled then.
Yeah. Anyway, so he wants to repair the chameleon circuit. The computer
is a bad he's listening to.
he should have been fairly happy because he had just gotten married.
Huh?
Yeah, but that was part of the problem.
He had just married Lala at this point.
But yeah. I just wondered if
that was part of the problem.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I just wondered if anybody, when they peeked into Romana's room and had a quick look of some of the scenery that was around depicting her room. One was the white coat stand with all her costume on, and there was a strange sort of two-dimensional tree thing. Yeah. Which is like something out of the play school background or something like that. Meanwhile, Tegan and Auntie Vanessa car breaks down or the tyre goes flat or something, just as the Doctor materialises the TARDIS next to the police box and then does a little short jump. But unfortunately, when they do the short jump, it appears that there's already a TARDIS there. So they get this very interesting... I thought it was quite interesting, the regression thing. But what I couldn't work out... which is later on, is when they go in, it gets darker and darker and darker, and then they walk out, and then suddenly they're outside.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah. I just couldn't work. That confused me.
Chris Bidmead did acknowledge that, though, in the commentary.
Hmm.
He said it was nice and atmospheric
when it got dark, though.
Oh, yeah.
It did work really well. I think they could have done something to the sound. Of course, there's also a shot of Adric on top of the TARDIS, and it does look rather...
Hmm.
Unsafe, shall we say, health and safety.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Also, when the TARDIS materialises where the police box already was and the bike falls off.
Yeah, that was clever.
Where it was leaning on it, I thought that was a nice touch too.
Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, when he gets out the TARDIS, he sees a Watcher in the fields, and that's the first time he sort of realises there's something odd going on.
Yeah, and that sounds like a song title too.
What, the Watcher in the fields?
Yeah.
Sounds like a painting by an old English painter.
Van Gogh.
English.
Van Gogh.
Get it
right, Van Gogh. So anyway, Tegan goes to make a phone call because the car's broken down. But unfortunately, when she lifts the phone up at the police box, the door opens as she goes in. There's a poke around, and gets lost.
Have you noticed there's a lot of going in that door instead of the right side door?
Mm. Yes.
Isn't there in this?
Ah, indeed. So anyway,
It always bothered me in the classic era that the door on the outside didn't match the double doors on the inside.
Yes, I know.
It's like
they had a little porch, didn't they? The TARDIS interior box was a porch, and there was a door beyond the porch, which was the door we see inside the TARDIS console. I think that's
so glad that they corrected that in the new series.
Indeed.
Can I just say that, of course, she wanders in there with her eyes wide open and doesn't say, "Crikey, Auntie Vanessa, look at this, the TARDIS." Box is bigger on the inside.
Auntie Vanessa, unfortunately, gets killed by what is obviously the Master. It's quite interesting.
Oh, really?
You know, when the Doctor steps outside and he meets the policeman, that bloke always played policeman in other dramas as well. So
yes.
Slightly oh, really? Typecast, yeah. He was in The Bill, I believe.
Oh, was he?
I think so, yeah. But he always plays policeman anyway. So anyway, yeah so the episode
Detective
one...
Detective Inspector, yes.
Yeah, episode one ends with... well, the little model Auntie Vanessa on the seat of the sports car. Never did work out what type of sports car it was. I think it was a Triumph.
A battered
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
yeah, it was all beat up.
Adric creates a diversion after the Doctor shouts it out quite loud and very obviously.
Yeah.
And he picks up a bike. Yeah, pathetic. I thought that wasn't particularly good because he would never have seen a bike on his own planet or since. So but he's able to realise what it was and use it as a... Yeah. Means to get away. But it's
there
okay.
Were bikes in Alzarius.
You reckon?
They used to go through the swamps in them. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, yeah.
That was one of the weird things about the there's a lot of strange behavior by the companions. Just why are they doing these things?
I think they down to the rising.
Right, just hang with sip out my hot chocolate. Right now. Sorry, my elbow just slipped off the thing. So the doctor realizes that there's another TARDIS inside the TARDIS, doesn't he? And he decides he's going to flush it out by parking the TARDIS in the River Thames and open the doors and letting all the water come in and flush it out. What about all the electronics?
A lot of ideas.
I know.
The River Thames? You mean Thames? You said Sims.
Never mind. There's no such river as River Thames.
It may be worth noting, I was, as part of the research for this, I went back to the Doctor Who magazine issue where the story was in the Fact of Fiction, and they reprinted a short story that Stephen Moffat wrote where the TARDIS does actually materialize and cause the Thames to drain.
Right.
And the doctor has to explain what's going on.
Oh boy.
Indeed.
It's a fun little short story.
Yep.
That would be fun.
Anyway, so he attempts to, they sort of switch a few things off, and then they sort of hide, and they lean up against the door.
Sounds like a stupid idea.
And it doesn't, nothing happens, so they go outside and they're parked on a barge, sorry. Or a
barge.
Or a pier, even.
No, it's a pier.
It's a barge.
Cadogan.
It's a pier.
No, say it's a barge.
It's not a barge. It's not a barge. It is...
I'm not spending Cadogan 10 minutes pier. Arguing about whether it's a barge or a pier. It was
it's
a pier, but it looks like a barge.
Says it's a barge. The author says it's a barge.
It may be, but he may say that. It's not a barge. It's the Cadogan pier.
Carry on,
pier.
Adam. Carry
sorry.
On.
The Master's TARDIS, which is currently the police box, that, disappears and comes back as a plant. Don't know what quite.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Don't know quite
what
plant it was.
Well, that they didn't notice.
But it's quite the fact that Mary was talking about bushes earlier on. It was quite a apt thing, really. So the Master would come out through the bush if he wanted to come out of the TARDIS.
Ooh.
Anyway,
doesn't seem quite his thing.
They land on Bogopolis just as Tegan enters the TARDIS console room, and they get a lovely little greeting from all the Logopolitans. It's very nice. But unfortunately, the Master arrives there as well and does a little... It's quite interesting that Anthony Ainley isn't actually in, I think, the first two episodes.
I know, yeah.
He's
chuckle is.
Just his voice, yeah.
Chuckle.
Yeah.
Echoing through time.
I think they're...
Fred was really... Louisa was really bothered by that.
Don't say my laugh. Name.
Yes.
She did not like that laugh at all. She it was really creepy.
It's OTT, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tegan sort of is with them and seems to instantly trying to make herself useful, which is quite Teganish. She's quite straight into character, though, isn't it? It's quite interesting that the character of Tegan didn't really deviate from this episode to the when she left. Really, she just sort of became a bit more attached to the
did.
Doctor. Yes, no, it didn't. If I say it didn't, who's the boss?
Janet Fielding was saying she became more belligerent. Well, she's not really in the early episodes, so is she, or in this episode?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I still think she's very much Tegan. The character might have grown a little bit since the first one, but it's still recognisable as Tegan. I mean, if you watch,
Rude to talk about a lady's weight. Not that kind of grown.
If you look at Time Warrior, wasn't it the one that the first Sontaran story, which is also the first story that Sarah Jane Smith is in.
Sarah Jane is
completely different in that episode than she is about two stories later. But Tegan is quite similar from this story to her third series. Yes, she's got a bit more used to time travel, a bit more used and a bit more friendly with her companions. She's had the thing with the Mara and that, but she's still essentially the same.
Yeah. Well, I think
she adapted to being on Legopolis pretty darn easily, though.
Yes, I agree with that.
Well, yeah,
maybe Clara had a few conversations with her off camera that sort of.
I know from having met and listened to Janet Fielding at Chicago TARDIS back in 2011 that one of her frustrations playing the part was the fact she felt like her character never really went anywhere.
Yeah,
that's a shame. Mm. Anyway, so the TARDIS shrinks, and poor old Adric goes, "But the Doctor's in there."
Yeah, the Doctor is in this thing that's bigger on the inside than the outside. Yeah. And,
I wonder. Oh. Remember a few weeks ago, we were discussing Planet of Fire, and they were using a 3-foot-tall TARDIS.
It seems to be an ongoing
I'm
theme with
that's
these
the same one.
Because we've had and also the policeman and the police box, and that's happened a few times recently. Yes, it's a strange thing that we seem to be choosing episodes.
We've discovered the randomizer's tools that it uses.
And it's sort of selecting episodes that were slightly related to each other. Meanwhile, anyway, the TARDIS...
I'm just wondering if that was the same... The prop they were carrying around was the same prop that they took to the island that they filmed Planet of Fire on.
Maybe.
To use.
Could be. It gets a bit of use out of it, doesn't it? Anyway, so they carry the TARDIS through the corridors and go past a little hole where the Master's going, hee hee hee.
At last, Doctor, at last I've cut you down to size.
He had his full teeth in for that shot. They got her to work out where the summer's gone wrong, and they put the TARDIS in front of these two things that look a little bit like a prop that was used in a future episode of Doctor Who.
Wasn't that Megalos? Megalos?
Yeah, and there's also a much larger version was used in End of Time Part 1, I believe, or Part 2, actually.
Oh, yes, I was thinking about
that. Oh, yes, yeah.
Anyway. Cadbury's Hot Chocolate, very nice.
Has anyone noticed the, when they're walking down the halls inside where all the Locopolitans, or whatever you want to call them, are working, that they open the one door and you see the painting of
and then they just turn around and come back the same way.
Again, that has a connection. Yeah. That has a connection to the Keys of Marinus, because they use a similar thing in that, didn't they? So it's quite interesting.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Same tech. What are you on about? You haven't seen it.
Keys of Marinus,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
You just want to get a what out of Robert every episode, don't you?
But, oh, you're right. I was thinking it was
dreaming?
A different episode.
It's a shame they had to use a dot matrix printer to print out all the maths, but it's very noisy, wasn't it? Yes. So,
well, it was high technology in 1980 when
maybe
this was being filmed.
Nyssa bumps into the Master and goes, "Father." She then should have said, "I don't remember you having a laugh like that."
I was bothered by Nyssa just happening to show up.
Yeah, that at the time I thought, oh, but then isn't it the Watcher that bought her, or did she just went there?
The Watcher did, but it's
I thought she was looking for her father, wasn't she? And that's why the Watcher bought her there, because obviously to show her that. What the Master had done to her father.
What, rub it in?
I always thought that, bless her, Sarah Sutton, but I'd never remember an episode in which, unfortunately, she didn't seem a bit wooden playing Nyssa. And that's probably just me thinking that. but I was never really convinced by the character. It was a bit bland and a bit one-dimensional for me. Whereas at least with if you look at Janet Fielding playing Tegan, if you look at Snake Dance and Kinder, she acted completely.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, yeah.
Well, it was. I think it's the case with a lot of the Fifth Doctor companions, as I said earlier about Janet Fielding complaining that Tegan never really developed. You know, and also we talked about earlier that Adric's character, as we started moving everybody in the Davison era, really lost a lot, and one of the reasons why he's ended up becoming one of the least regarded companions. I think the problem is that when you throw three companions in, two of them being geniuses, one of them being a normal human, there's not enough space to develop any character in the same way that you had even with Romana and Leela previously.
That's very true. But I mean, Adric, I think, is actually quite good in these episodes. From when he starts through all to it, it's when the next series starts that he starts going a bit downhill, and it's not his fault.
In some ways, it's almost the Wesley Crusher syndrome.
Yeah, I agree. I like Wesley Crusher, actually, especially as time went on.
It's interesting you say that, Kirby, because Stephen Moffat actually makes that comparison in the documentary on the Earthshock DVD.
Yeah.
And actually does compare him to Wesley Crusher.
Yeah.
And saying, they keep science fiction writers, when they're doing these shows, I have a habit of trying to put in boy genius characters that the fanboys in the audience are going to identify with. And Moffat goes, we hate boy geniuses.
Yeah. So on the side of Wesley Crusher, I mean, I obviously first couple of series, but when he became a proper officer, a proper ensign, from then on, I quite liked the character then. I think it was a bit unrealistic, just because Picard got on so well with Crusher's mum that he would get a seat driving the spaceship. That seemed a bit strange.
Will Wheaton himself has said that he feels that the character was that the Wesley Crusher character was Gene Roddenberry creating, I guess would be termed a Gary Sue. Or a Gary Stu, that he wanted the character who was like himself, because Roddenberry's middle name was Wesley as well.
Oh, there you go. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. There's a point in which where Nyssa tries to do the possessed acting with when she attacks.
I know.
Dismal failure in regards to, if you look at the possessed acting that Janet Fielding and Elizabeth Sladen have done in Doctor Who. That episode goes on to the Master and the Doctor agreeing to form an alliance, it's brilliant by Tom.
He really doesn't
want to do it, but he has to, and he gets a bit angry with everybody, and it's really, really quite good.
He was stuck in the TARDIS trying to figure everything out, and he misquotes something. He says, the cheese board is the world, and the piece is a phenomena of the universe. Mm. As my old friend Huxley used to say, cheese board, chessboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
there seems to be a suggestion in that scene with the Master saying, if we make this agreement, you can't ever go back to Gallifrey. There seems to be a suggestion that Chris Midmead, before he knew he was leaving the show, was trying to effectively write out the Time Lords.
Who knows? Yeah. Anyway, so Reddy shakes the Master's hand, and he sort of shuts his eyes because he really doesn't want to do it.
How many times has the universe been destroyed?
Oh, I don't know.
I think this is the first time we'd seen the kind of threat, a kind of universe-ending threat, at least on this scale.
Well, this was the first time we even had the Cloister Bell, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's also it's also the first TV mention of the Chameleon Circuit, which in fact had been introduced several years earlier by Terrence Dix in the novelization of Terror of the Autons. And it was one of the first cases of literary Doctor Who making its way onto TV Doctor Who.
Okay. Anyway.
Second episode, the
never mind.
Unearthly Child. He doesn't call it that.
Carry
but he doesn't
on,
call
on.
It. Should have changed.
Adam, go, quick,
I know.
Go.
I'm just saying they don't call it the Chameleon Circuit.
All you're doing is creating a moment I have to edit out. Thank you. Right. So the doctor and the Master go off, but Tegan sort of escapes from the TARDIS just as the Watcher dematerializes. And that's another thing I'd like them to tidy up somewhere along the line. how the Watcher was created. I'd love to, because that's just such a sort of random thing that's never really been explained. To go and then Robert, you
it's
said
sort of it's sort of explained by Chris Bidmead, I think, in the documentary. No, it's just like a shadow.
Should get it from a documentary.
I know. It should be explained in the actual episode itself.
So what I'd like them to do.
He was just saying it's like a shadow, a shadowing of his former self.
What I'd like them to do is take this advantage with his 50th anniversary and somehow turn the John Hurt Doctor into the Watcher.
I was thinking that.
So they can have a bit of Tommy Wynness and affect this particular thing. That's what I'd like them to do.
Yeah, the problem with that, Adam, is that it is a 32-year-old story, and it's a reference so obscure that about 8 people will actually get it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter, does it? Because all they have to do, in the course of the destruction of this version of the Doctor, he turns into the Watcher and disappears into the time-space continuum. And they don't have to explain it. It's just that he's been got rid of. But obviously we all know, as long-term Doctor Who fans, he turns up and saves him. Well, saves the Fourth Doctor. I just like them to do something to explain it. They don't have to explain the Valiard or anything like that. But the Watcher, for me, was the most disappointing regeneration of the lot, because I just wanted the Doctor to regenerate as a Time Lord and not have somebody step in and somebody say, "Oh, the Watcher, he was a Doctor all the time."
Yeah, I quite like this regeneration.
It's original, but I don't like the idea of it. I prefer the Doctor to regenerate full stop without some bloke following. Yes. I don't mind the foreshadowing of it, like they did with Tennant. You know, that was fine. Yeah. But an actual walking, talking person. Well, he was talking, so he spoke to the Doctor and Adric. that can operate the TARDIS and stuff like that. Yeah. You know.
Well, to be fair, Adam, they had done it before. If you go back to Planet of the Spiders, with Cho Ji, who was a projection of can't think of the character's name now, who was sort of there and was interacting with people and seemed to be a real character.
This is the way they missed a thing, because they knew Peter Davison was coming in. They should have had Peter Davison then wandering around in the background, you know, like the Watcher, but it was actually Peter Davison sort of not saying anything, but just there.
It was Peter Davison all along.
Yeah. Anyway. the Master, when he realises that there's not much hope for anything, runs off again. And then he tries to get in his TARDIS and a load of rocks fall on him. Sorry, polystyrene falls on him.
Some of that polystyrene looked pretty heavy, though.
And the Watcher takes the TARDIS out of time and space, just so as they can play that effect. Which looked a bit like an extermination of it by a
exterminate. Yes,
a Dalek.
Yes,
somebody should dub that with exterminate on top.
And actually, Fred liked that effect.
Okay, good. I'm glad somebody did. So the Doctor and the Master turn up at the Pharos Project, and they're trying.
Stop swearing.
They're trying. Yeah, so
I knew you'd say that.
They're trying to get something. What are they trying to get?
No, what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop the CVE from closing.
There we go.
Yeah.
So they're trying to gain control of
because
the dish.
Sustaining the universe.
Yeah, they're trying to use the transmitter dish from the Pharos Project to keep the sort of permanently open the CVE.
There we go. So
I just say something?
No.
I quite enjoyed that linked into the other stories when they went into the E-Space. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because
that.
It was the Logopolitans opening up CVE.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's good.
Yeah,
it's
one of the first examples, as well as the Key to Time season a couple of years before. It's one of the first times Doctor Who had done anything very arc-driven.
Yeah.
And it feels very much like a precursor to what the show does now.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I've not seen the E-Space stories.
I reckon they're great.
Wow.
Yeah.
They are fantastic.
I've got holes in my Doctor Who watch.
Brian?
No. Unfortunately, when Nyssa realises that Traken's gone, she didn't look particularly upset. She just grumbled a little bit. The Doctor, Master, Tegan. A little model TARDIS appears. I forgot about that nearly. When the TARDIS materialises, there's a little model one.
Didn't that look ridiculous?
It was just
where they land doesn't look compared to anywhere like what their model looks like.
Yeah.
Spearhead from Space Episode 1.
Okay, yeah, it does,
yes,
yeah,
that's true.
It does look a bit like that. So anyway, they do a bit of, they do a bit of running where they get chased by some guards. And
Anthony Ailey, during the running, splits his pants.
Does he?
So they have to, they have to wait for June Hudson to come out to repair them.
So his ass, yeah.
Yeah, so Tegan causes a a distraction so the Doctor and the Master can get up the telescope, radio telescope.
And isn't that ridiculous, though? Aren't those guards dumb? They didn't notice, where are the other two people you were with?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
It's a distraction, Robert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the Doctor throws away...
I still would have questioned where they went.
The Doctor throws away the Master's phallic thing. And then the Doctor climbs up the ladder thing, and
the info text says that that says that that the tissue whatever it is thing was it says that it that design was suggested by John Nathan Turner.
I'm not surprised. Yeah.
So yes, they end up in the top of the telescope, and the Master then sort of does a little announcement to the universe, and the Doctor connects the thing together.
Peoples of the universe, yes. Listen. Yeah.
Then the Doctor realizes that Master is.
It sounds like the beginning of some other podcast.
Yeah, they realize the Master is up to his usual standard of no good, and decides that he can stop it by. Disconnecting something, doesn't he? So he jumps on the actual telescope thing, ties his scarf across the thing.
Gantry.
Does that scarf come down? Because obviously Davidson's wearing in the next episode.
He does. He puts it on.
Oh, he puts it back
on. Cut to the Master inside.
That's right. He does put it back on. Yeah. He couldn't be without it. And then, of course, the thing starts turning. It was very gripping, actually, at the time. Although the gravity wasn't working too well. Because it was turning,
and also the master looking out at him is the very stiff.
Yes.
I forgot about that, but that was good.
It's terrible, Dad.
Anyway, so he bangs it with a spanner, and then eventually grabs the cable and pulls it out that way using his own body weight, and then hangs for a bit, and then he sees some flashbacks. This bit was brilliant when I watched it first time in 1981.
Yeah.
Seeing all these little flashbacks.
Pretty brilliant now.
Oh, I'm saying it's knowing it's happened now, but when you watch it first time round, it did have quite an emotional impact. And then he falls down very quickly. The gravity, as I said, is straight down really quick as they watched him. Gather around.
I hate their reactions, though.
I'm so glad he had one leg up.
They all seem to be watching different people falling.
Yes.
John Nathan Turner. John Nathan Turner in his memoirs talks about that him and Peter Grimway wanted Tom Baker to give a yell to indicate the Doctor was falling because they obviously couldn't do it on camera, and that Tom Baker absolutely refused, so they had to kind of do it with the music, which is why you get that interesting little music cue that comes right there.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I could understand him not wanting to do that.
I love the music during the regeneration scene.
That's all good music.
I love all the music. Yeah.
They played it at the prom, actually. And that's part of the music they played.
That's good. So the effect of the Watcher going into the Doctor wasn't particularly well done, but, it's a regeneration.
Okay.
The way it sinks into
it. Pretty cool.
For the time.
It was.
There is actually on the DVD.
I had no problem with it, but, of course, to me, that entire scene is just so iconic that I don't. Have issues with it.
No, it's great. Yeah. I'm just glad he sat up. I like the fact that the time that he sat up, but also the fact that he smiles as he's changing. I like the changing part of it. I just didn't like the Watcher aspect of it. Okay. That's it. That's the end of Lock Up Rocklist. Because I forgot last week to say what I thought of it, Robert. Be quiet.
Points deducted.
Now, Logopolis is the episode that got me into Doctor Who, so it's perfect. So shut up, everyone. Carry on. I changed that. Not that got me into Doctor Who, but that turned me into a Doctor Who fan. It was this episode, this story, and that episode we've just talked about, episode 4. I know I glossed over it, because there's not that much happening, really. But that is what got me into Doctor Who, and as a fan, and contaminated me with all this stuff. So I'm very grateful to Christoph H. Bidmead and this episode of Logopolis. Right, who should we go first then? I love Logopolis, it's great. Robert.
Ah, there was a funny line when they're on Legopolis and Tom Baker was talking about seeing her Aunt Vanessa, and Tegan says, "So you've seen her?" And the Doctor says, "A little of her," because she'd been shrunk down.
I thought Aunt Vanessa was a euphemism for a second then.
No.
Was that your thoughts on the episode, Robert?
No, that wasn't. No, I really enjoy this episode because this was the first sort of regeneration story that I actually watched that I knew somebody, you know, the Doctor was going to regenerate. So I found that quite interesting at the time. But I absolutely love the music on this. It's probably one of my favorite scores.
Good old Patty Kingsland.
Yeah. And sounding very like his music from Hitchhikers at this stage.
They had just finished making the TV series for Hitchhikers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's pretty much the same time that he was doing all of that work.
And really, Tom Baker should have borrowed David Tennant's ability to fall from great heights as well.
Yeah, he got it.
Well, he developed it when he regenerated.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
But yeah, it is quite a favourite story of mine. And I thought, I know when I first watched it, I didn't follow a lot of the plot. So I think probably Mary's would have to watch it a few times before she understood. But mind you, I did have the benefit of reading the novel few months ago.
I had the benefit of watching it. Now, obviously, with me, I watched it when it went out, not say live, but when it was first broadcast. And of course, let me finish. At that time, there were no DVDs, videos. It was just, it was on TV, you watched it, and you couldn't watch it again.
I had a video back then.
Well, I didn't. And this was 1981.
Have we got a video?
So I couldn't watch it again.
Video.
So I had to. My next Doctor Who episode was Castro Valva. So it was nothing for me in between that and that. So it's a 9 or 10 month gap in between that and that. And all I had to think about or remember about the episode was this. They did do a recap in Castro Valva, but. So that has a big impact on me. And that's the anticipation of Castro Valva, you know, and that big long gap was the thing that got me hooked.
Adam.
Yes.
Did you not watch the 5 Faces of Doctor Who that would have been going out in between the 2 seasons?
Possibly. I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
Because they did repeat Legopolis there as well, because it was the only story with Peter Davison in it at the time.
Maybe I did see that one. But again, it was another bit of a tantalizing thing. I might not have got to see it, because it depends when it was on, and I can't remember. But I probably got to see it at some point. Are you still going, Robert?
No, that's okay. It. Love it.
Okay, Reese.
Well, like Robert, I kind of thought that it was interesting to know that the Doctor was going to regenerate. And I kind of thought, when I started watching it, that, well, this is Tom Baker's last story, and, you know, I should get myself ready to be maybe affected by that. And I was. I looked at the time left on the episode, and there were about 8 minutes, and I thought, oh boy, I've got to say goodbye to one of the best Doctors. And then when we got there, I just kind of went, oh. And I thought that the last episode specifically was very dramatic, but also he mentioned the music. I thought the music throughout was just excellent. It was atmospheric. They had the right cues. They didn't go over the top. I have mentioned some criticisms before of classic Who music, and that's just because the cue is 2 seconds before the music should have played, and then the music goes on for about 5 seconds too long. It goes bling, 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 and it just sounds silly most of the time. But in this, it followed the right cue, and it was actually understated, and it felt appropriate. And it also, the music they played with those cues sounded quite good as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Kirby needs to step away for a bit.
That's a shame. I was going to ask him next. That means you, Matthew.
No. I can talk
for 3 minutes
now, but I've got to go start the car for one of the girls. So.
Okay.
So he says, may I be next to my thoughts?
Yeah, he's here. He can tell us that himself. Go on then, Kirby.
Yeah.
Well, why did he write it down then?
We'll read the whole thing anyway.
Never mind, get on it.
I need to start.
Legopolis was of course the first. I bought this one because this was the first of the regeneration stories that I had decided to seek out back when I was first getting DVDs to try and fill in everything. Because remember, I was a Fourth Doctor fan back in the 80s and only saw things like Five Doctors and a couple other of the Fifth Doctor, and didn't really get into things until DVDs started coming out and started collecting. So this was the first regeneration story I got. I didn't see this one in the 80s because I moved away from where they were showing things, and just things happened. Anyway, I like most of the story. It's got some real strange things like Nyssa coming in, and I realized it when I finished watching this one, I'm going to have to go and watch Castro Valva again, because it was my impression that everyone was under arrest. Why are they? Are they let go? How far away is the TARDIS?
It does lead on. Yeah,
it's been a long time since I've seen Castro Valva. So,
same here.
So, do those guards just let them carry the Doctor over the TARDIS?
No, they. Well, I could explain, but I'm not going to
ask the question, Kirby. Just watch the episode.
And there's certain set pieces in this story I absolutely love. Like I said, this is one of my favorite regenerations of all time. And I like the Watcher. I've never had any problems with him.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not one of the best stories. And some of the holes that I know about it now, that some of the weird things, like the still photographs of the master and that painting, I didn't notice until like third, fourth, fifth time watching the story.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, obviously it has got its faults, but I think it's because of obviously at the time when you watch it once and it gets you hooked on the TV series that, you gloss over things like that until you can really examine it with a microscope, you know, which is what we do.
Speaking of getting someone hooked on the TV series, my wife told me yesterday, we were out driving, and she said, oh, by the way, I'm going to grab some embroidery, and sometime next week, let's sit down and you can show me another episode of Doctor Who. And ooh, I'll start watching Doctor Who.
So what are you going to show? You're going to show her Curse of the Bad Plot. I mean, Black Plot Spot, sorry.
No, we she saw Blink about 3 weeks ago and loved it. And so we're going to start her with the...
sorry. Carry on.
We're going to start her with the 11th Hour.
Good.
I think that's a good starting.
I agree with that being a good one too, yes.
Anyway, right. I've got to run down to the garage for 3 minutes. Don't start the quiz without me.
Okay, Matthew.
Oh, me. Sorry, as I mentioned earlier, I'm suffering from fall allergies. So, I have to say I have a strong fondness for this story, even though it wasn't one of the first ones I saw. And certainly, I think 30 years on, it's hard not to go into the story without knowing, you know, this is the final Tom Baker story. I'm a big fan of this whole season, season 18, minus Beck Loss, because I don't know what in the world was going on with that story.
That's true.
And I think that if you watch the entire season rather than watching individual stories, which you would have been doing in 1981, 80-81 when this whole season would have been going out. There's a lot, as I've talked earlier, a lot of arc stuff that's building up. The ideas of entropy, which Chris Bidmy was very interested in, and is in fact worked into all the scripts throughout this particular season. And also it's got some of Bidmy's other fascinations, you know, this ancient but very different civilization that has this big, deep, dark secret that's holding the universe together. And there's a lot of interesting concepts. Whether the execution of them in the script necessarily works is another matter. In particular, I found the first episode did drag a bit when I was watching it this morning. That could have just been the allergy medicine I was taking that was trying to put me to sleep, though.
I just imagined it tucking you in. There, Matthew, settle down. Just relax.
I watched the first three episodes, and then the medicine kicked in, so I had to turn it off. And when I woke up before the podcast, I watched the final episode.
Oh, great.
But the fourth episode, Peter Grimwood was one of the best directors that Doctor Who had.
Yes.
And it's a real shame that him and John Nathan Turner had a falling out between Earthshock and what should have been Resurrection of the Daleks, and then he never got to come back to the show. Because stories like this, I mean, he takes a script that is complex and layered and, as I said, may not necessarily work in the execution, and draws a really good production out of it. There's this real strong sense of finality and of doom. And to a large extent, I think it is properly the Fourth Doctor's last two Raw. And the sense that we've seen this man who started out as all teeth and curls and jumpy at the end of his life, sort of in, you know, Tom Baker's performance this last season, largely because he wasn't getting on with a lot of the people around him, but wasn't getting on with John Nathan Turner. His really, it seems like a love-hate relationship with Lala Ward, and the fact they got married just before this story was being done. There's a sense of an old, almost a sense of an old man to Tom Baker. And I think that in this story, the story arc kind of finishes with, as I said, what we've started out with a sort of this young, vibrant man reaching the end of his life and finding that everything he's fought for over all these hundreds of years is threatened and making the ultimate sacrifice to save the whole universe. And I think it's an interesting story from that perspective. As I said, whether the execution of it works is another matter.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Matthew.
And I can see Adam falling asleep at his microphone. No.
I should have known that I'd get back from dealing with
all
the car,
three of you,
and you were still at it, man.
That's what she said.
That's
quite insulting, Gary.
Do I detect an insinuation that I'm the one responsible for the podcast link issues?
No, you aren't.
Seconds out.
It was going 2 hours for a year before you joined.
I used to try and split up Kirby and Reese from their little bickering sessions, and now I've got to split up you two. It's just getting beyond the joke.
By the way, what had happened downstairs, if I may go into the 20 megabyte car, our new driver podcast, Fred. Fred has only had her driver's license for about 2 months now. And she's driving over, wants to go over to the grocery store. And she just came up here while I was talking with you guys and said that the car wouldn't start. I went down there and discovered that whoever had put it in the garage, not me, had left it in neutral, not in park. So, of course, it would not start.
Run out of fuel.
And she didn't think, no, she had not thought of like putting it to. Yeah, it wasn't. She hadn't thought of that.
Don't worry, I've done that before too. Did anybody notice the production manager? This is linking back to Ambassadors of Death, was Margot Hayho.
Hey, hey, I didn't know. Yes, we do with the van. Yes, okay. Yeah. No, I didn't. Go on in, Reese.
What about...
I'm talking, Kirby. I was just going to say that I first saw this on the ABC, and I'm going to carry on despite Adam
yawning. I'm not yawning at you. I'm just tired.
I first saw this on the ABC thanks to their repeats before the new series, and I realized it halfway through watching it, and I got really excited about that.
Thank you, Reese. Right then. I don't know why, but that...
Why would we not want to discuss things like the poster, the new image has come out for the...
Because it's old news by now.
But it was new... It was after we last recorded.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, Kirby, right?
It's got things like Bad Wolf on it.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, right, it was... it was leaked about an hour before it was supposed to be. Hence, I put it on the 20 megabyte group page. Yes, okay, go on then. There's not really much news other than that, though, is there? So that's the thing I was trying to allude to, that we're a bit thin on the news front.
The Van Gogh painting that has the TARDIS
okay,
in right. it.
Okay, I have got some news then. Cue the music. No, that's never mind. The news, right, here we go. 50th anniversary details revealed. The BBC have revealed some details about their programming for the 50th anniversary celebrations, which will include the 50th anniversary special itself, which has been named The Day of the Doctor, and will be 75 Ooh. Minutes long. The 90
Too
minute,
short.
The 90-minute drama and adventure in time and space.
Oh.
BBC Two lecture by Professor Brian Cox on the science behind the hit show. Looking forward to that. A culture show special by Matthew Sweet entitled Me, You and Doctor Who. Stupid title. A BBC Radio 2 documentary entitled Who is the Doctor? That's original, isn't it? A repeat run of a restored version of the very first story, An Unearthly Child, for BBC Four. And a primer to the series with Doctor Who, The Ultimate Guide. And exact times will be revealed at a later date. So, yeah, a bit more I think they need, really. It's a 50th anniversary, and I'm still a bit disappointed not doing a live episode because Coronation Street and Emmerdale did live episodes for their big anniversary specials. But, yes.
Well, to be fair, those are soap operas. They're soap operas.
I don't care.
With no special effects.
You could do an episode like Midnight Live, but I don't think you can really do...
Can I just argue my case? Can I just argue my case?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a drama. They've got all the sets. They can set it in a position where they've got the sets within a few feet of where they need it to be. As far as the regeneration goes, yes, they'd have to pre-record that, but they can certainly work a live production around that sort of thing in modern day television. And yes, it would be a big sort of stress on the actors, but they're actors. I mean, what more could you do to do? Yes.
If you want any reason why you can't do a modern science fiction production live, go back to 2005's BBC Four production of the Quatermass Experiment, where they condensed, where they took the mostly missing 1953 first Quatermass story and condensed it into a 90-minute live drama. And the problem is that the ending of the story was very dependent on having this creature, but they couldn't figure out how to do the creature live, so they cut the whole thing out, and it really undermines it. And Russell T. Davies actually answered the... Yeah, Russell T. Davies, in fact, talked about the fact that they did consider doing a live episode for the 45th anniversary in 2008, and then couldn't figure out how they would do it with the logistics.
Okay, well, I can understand why they can't do it, but I think it would have been a nice thing. You know, because obviously, if you look at the 50th anniversary episode of Coronation Street, it had a big crash at the end of it.
Which I haven't seen.
That was at the beginning of it, I do apologise. And that was directed by Graham Harper as well. The link there was Doctor Something. And, of course, the 40th anniversary episode of Emmerdale was live. EastEnders did their 30th episode live, and they all did a very good job.
Big
spectaculars. You know, there was big things going on.
You have to work hard. You have to work hard to make Doctor Who, whereas that other stuff, it probably doesn't need much effort.
No, I'll tell you.
Soap operas tend to be recorded multi-camera, where you can do that, where somebody can sit in the control room and go, switch between camera one and camera two, back to camera one, so on. Doctor Who's no longer made like that. I've got a piece of news I'd like to share. Concus Derberis is proud to announce that we will be, as our guest for next year, we will be bringing friend of the show, Andrew Cartmell.
Yay!
Yay.
No.
I still don't know if I can make it, but...
Hitchhike!
I can drive there without a problem. It's finding a place to stay. It's not going to cost me anything.
Matthew said you can stay at his place.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't already going to be sleeping at my mom's because she lives only a couple of miles away from where the convention is. I'd talk to her for you, but I'm sleeping there as it is.
I still have time
as well.
I still have time to figure out something.
It's not for another 9.5 months or so. It doesn't feel like it.
It will go just like
that. Yeah, I'm not going to have any trouble driving there or paying for my membership or food. It's the expense of a room.
Talking about the poster, did you see the version that people made, which apparently it should be with all the other doctors on there?
Don't get me started about
it.
I haven't seen that one.
I saw it on the Earth Station Who Facebook page has it.
I saw it up on the Doctor Who Hub Facebook page, and everybody jumping on the thing saying, oh, they ought to have Tom Baker and so on and so forth, and that led to my whole little post on Facebook regarding my thoughts about that.
I just think that it would be nice, but as Colin Baker has said, they're a lot older and a lot larger than they were when they were in the show.
Very much my feeling about it. You know, Tom Baker is pushing 80 and doesn't look anything like he did in even in Legopolis in 1981. And, you know, you just quote Colin Baker himself saying he doesn't look anything like he did 25 years ago. And, you know, Eccleston didn't want to take part in it. And, well, I can tell, Reese, you're reading my post. Once again, to be a name dropper, I interviewed Terrence Dix in 2010 at Chicago Tardis.
Oh, don't break those names when you drop them.
But one of the questions I asked him was about would he do the 11 Doctors, and you know how would you do it? And his response was, you couldn't do it. There's too many Doctors now.
Yeah,
and that trying to fit all of them a meaningful storyline, where it's not just them showing up, is really hard to do when you've got...
Showing up is hard to do.
You've got 8 actors now, and let's be honest, as I said, Tom Baker's pushing 80. He's not going to be running down corridors in a scarf next to David Tennant or Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to news. The Doctor Who from official rating has been published. 1.45 million viewers. Unfortunately, it would have been 1.5 million and one if I'd actually had a chance to see it. So I missed it completely, and they took it off the iPlayer so soon that I completely miss it. So I won't get to see it until it's out on DVD. No, I want to see a good quality version of it. Thank you.
It's a fine quality version.
You reckon?
It's TV quality.
Is it? Can I see it on a big screen on my telly?
If you could connect your tele to the internet and stream YouTube on there, yes, you can.
Well, it's a smart TV, so it should be able to do it. But I'd like to see it in HD like it was originally broadcast, though.
Pretty sure it's nearly HD. I'll go and find it and have a look.
It's a sponsor. No, do you really
don't worry. Yes,
HD?
I do. Anyway, it's time for some feedback. For some feedback, so Alicia was saying. For some feedback. Alicia's in the other room, by the way. She's stunk the room out with what's left of the chips that she got from work. It smells of ketchup, chips, and vinegar in there now. She's currently watching one of the Shrek films on the other
side. I haven't had breakfast yet. Don't get me started.
Jeff Waddle says, I think some of you... Will you stop purring, please? I think some of you will like
this. I was providing a podcast.
But I think it's an awful send-off for who is, in my opinion, anyway, the best Doctor of them all. I don't like the whole entropy thing, and I can't believe the premise of going to land the TARDIS underwater to flush it out. What a lot of nonsense. And don't get me started on the Watcher. A pervert dressed in Michelin Man cosplay is not a good plot point make. I think this was the beginning of the end for me with Who. I gave Davison a couple of episodes, then gave up. I dipped in and out from that point. That's what she said. But what I saw from then on was awful, apart from, ironically, getting back to its best right at the end. It was the end at the moment it hadn't been prepared for, well, at all. Yeah, sorry about the way I read that, Jeff. I'm very tired. But thanks. Now, Jeff wrote that email in to prevent me from singing. But unfortunately, I said that if we don't get enough emails in, I will continue to sing.
No.
And as we only got two in this this particular episode. I don't think that's good enough, and I shall need to continue singing. Anyway, this is...
We can't call it singing, though.
Well, here is Ian.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Quiet, Ian.
When you hear a cat on this show, it is a podcat. Megapolis by Christopher Midmain. We have Nyssa and Tegan and a fifth doctor, but I don't like the dodgy physics. I tried to suspend my disbelief, but it kept falling off. There it goes again. There's a bit of science and a bit of 1980s computer science, and barely any plot. There was a lot of technobabble, which the cast called Bafflegab. Computer graphics was a fairly new idea in 1981. The parts of the picture would be put together in a block of computer memory, and would then be copied into the screen memory in a block transfer. Christopher Midmain was also a freelance writer for computer magazines.
Yeah.
Magazines at the time would publish programs for home computers. Many would involve typing in thousands of numbers in a form called hexadecimal. This used the digit 0 to 9 and the letters A to F. This was tedious, and it was easy to make mistakes. The master used murder to cause an error in the program the doctor is using. Our universe is young. It is springtime for the universe. The universe is ordered. The stars and stuff have all the energy. Space is only a couple of degrees above absolute zero. Space is really cool. The energy is pouring into space. Spoilers, if you don't want to know what happens to the universe in a trillion years, skip the next minute and 2 seconds.
Okay.
When the universe is a few hundred times its present age, energy will all be evenly spread out, and the universe will be disordered. The scientific description is, entropy in a closed system increases. The universe will eventually be a place of total disorder, where any meaningful form of life will be impossible. Like a teenager's bedroom.
Cheers.
The people of Megapolis have realised that the problem is there is only one universe. They have found another universe, E-Space, and are sending the entropy there so it does not increase here. They're doing this by sending a radio signal to E-Space. There goes my suspension of disbelief again. An entropy gets loose in Megapolis in a Fukushima catastrophe. The people disappear, and the place falls to bits. Although they thought they were saving the universe from entropy, it seems to manage without them. After the Pharos project is reconfigured, Traken and some other planets do disappear, though. The TARDIS must have taken Nyssa into the far future, as well as far away. She arrived just in time to see the light from the death of Traken, which would have taken millions of years to get that far out. Seems a bit cruel. Why was Tegan's first flight going to be from London Heathrow? Why not somewhere down under with a lot of vowels? The Watcher. I suppose Ben Shibler might say, he's all white. The Master could have had the Traken Strangler kill Adric, but he let him live. Is there no end to his depravity? Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Captain.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Master?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Crikey.
There was, you know what I was starting to think when Ian was going off about space?
Final Frontier.
My God, it's full of stars.
No. Space. It's big. Really big. You just won't believe how vastly, hugely, mind-bogglingly big it is.
Yes.
Anyway, I was listening to some podcasts the other day, as I tend to do from time to time when I'm walking the dog, and I've come to the conclusion, one, that the Radio Rassilon podcast is the best podcast out there, and two, there's not enough of them. So, come on, Radio Rassilon people. I want more. I'm getting a bit sort of depraved or deprived
Please,
of it.
Please, sir, can I have some more, sir?
Not depraved.
Depraved and deprived. I want more Radio Rassilon, please. So everybody, please write to the Radio Rassilon podcast saying that Adam demands more Radio Rassilon.
Or he'll throw his toy out of his pram.
I'll start singing again. They sing on the Radio Rassilon podcast, you know.
Quick,
slightly more in tune.
Make more episodes quick before he sings.
Here is this week's edition of You Won't Get This Singing. One.
Oh, boy.
It might be good fun actually to begin this week's episode of You Won't Get This One with a little linking game before we get into the main quiz.
Huh?
Yes, do you know what I mean by a linking game?
No.
Right. It's basically we start with a list of episodes of Doctor Who and their titles, and what you've got to do is then come up with the next episode, and you get a point if you get them in the right. I don't miss anything out. You get a point. You know what I mean? And once you come to the end and you cock it up, it then goes on to the next player.
Just okay. Give it to Matthew and let's move on.
No, Matthew's the last player on the list, so this should be quite good. Give it to Matthew and move on. I mean, Right.
Oh, boy.
Who's first on this? Oh, Rhys. Now, we're going to start with, well, non-classic Doctor Who, shall we
say. I was going to say, if it's classic Who, I don't know.
Okay. Let's see if we can find where we are, because I don't know it off by heart, because I'm tired. right, okay, nearly there. This will be edited, of course, if I can remember to do it, because I did forget to edit out a couple of things of last week's episode I didn't want in.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I did. I can't remember what they are, but I did forget to edit them out. I'm going to blame Rhys, because Rhys doesn't edit the podcast for me.
No, because I don't send it to me to edit, so I blame
you.
Okay,
right, Rhys. Now, I'll give you the first one, and you have to continue. You have to continue with in the right order, without missing them out, and no hesitations, okay? Once you hesitate or miss anything out, it's the end of your turn.
That means I'm going to end straight away.
Yeah,
the end of the world. The Unquiet Dead, Aliens of London, World War III, Dalek. I've hesitated.
There we go. So how many was that? Hang on, I'll work it out. The Rose. So we had Rose, and it was the end of the world, you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's the end of the world as we know,
it.
The end of the world was correct. And then what did you say? It was Unquiet
Dead. Unquiet
Dead. Yes, you did say that. That's very good. Then you said Aliens of London, which is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said
World War III,
which is correct. And then you said
Dalek.
Oh, bugger.
Correct. And then you... Pardon?
Then I said, really?
So that's where you ended up. So we'll start then with Robert. What was the next story? And then carry on.
I'm not too good with...
Do you want me to start you off?
New Who?
Let me start you off?
No. Because I'll be useless.
Right, so you want me to take you back to some classic then?
Yes, please.
Okay, go on then. Do you think that's fair, everybody?
Sure.
I'll start you off with the faceless ones.
Oh, my goodness. We're going back to the faceless ones.
Yeah.
Evil of the Daleks, Tomb of the Cybermen, the Abominable Snowmen, the Ice Warriors, the Enemy of the World, the Web of Fear, Fury from the Deep, Wheel in Space, Dominatus, Mind Robber, Invasion, Crotons, the Seeds of Death, the Space Pirates, War Game... Do you want me to keep going?
Anyway, let's forget that particular part of the quiz. That was very good fun, though.
Yes.
You got up to the War Games, didn't you? I'm not going to go any further. Let's play this quiz as it is normally. That's
no,
good fun,
you need to do the same thing for Matthew and see what he can do.
Oh, yeah, we could be here all night. Okay, Matthew.
It's the whole series, though. That's the problem. Right,
okay, I'll do one for Matthew. You ready?
Okay. Sure.
Okay, right on. Let's find this one.
The name of the doctor.
Oh, you spoilt it for me.
Oh, you're going to say that?
Okay. I will do a little 10-episode one then. Are you ready, Matthew?
Sure.
Oh, that's the wrong spot. That's exactly where Robert had it.
Okay. That's what she said.
Okay, right then. Oh, God. Hang on. Stupid thing's going... Ah, yeah, this is where I wanted it. Claws of Axos.
Claws of Axos. Colony in Space, The Demons, Day of the Daleks, The Curse of Peladon, the Sea Devils.
Oh, hesitation.
Crap.
I don't see one called crap.
See?
Oh, no, no, that's
so you got five there. You got five there, Matthew. Robert got about eight, I think. Didn't you get about eight, Robert?
Something like that.
So it was quite a lot, wasn't it? I was 10. I'll give you 10. I think it was about 10 episodes. You stopped at the end of the Trouton era, didn't you?
Yeah.
Robert, I gave your points to Reese by mistake.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Does that matter?
Yes, it does.
Okay, go on then, Kirby. Let's give you a go, shall we? You ready, Kirby?
I'm not going to get very long.
Go on then. Remembrance of the Daleks.
That's just what she said.
Remembrance of the Daleks.
I haven't the foggiest.
Oh, you couldn't have given that one to me.
Yeah, he's the Seventh Doctor expert.
Okay, let's get your own. Remembrance of the Daleks, Happiness Patrol.
No.
No, that's not the next title, Robert. Point deducted.
Adam.
Oh, you said you want me to continue because since I know after that was Silver Nemesis.
Yeah, Silver Nemesis.
Hesitation.
Circus.
Greatest show.
Yeah.
Battlefield, Ghostlight. Survivor.
That's a hesitation.
No,
you missed one.
You got
the unimpressed tone in you got Matthew's six. Voice.
Okay, that was good, wasn't it? Wasn't that good fun? It won't happen again, but it was good fun.
Oh.
What do you mean, oh?
If extremely hard.
I might get points if that happens again.
Not many.
Yeah.
All right. I've got to write out the scoreboard again because I wrote what you're...
Yeah, I've decided one thing I'm going to do. I have a list. I've got a spreadsheet with all the all of my DVDs listed on it. I'm going to add in some new columns with all of the episodes. Since I've gone well over half, probably nearly two thirds of this of what is available on DVD, I now have.
Right.
So
okay.
I think we've just redefined the word nerd.
Okay. This week's
geek.
Yeah. This week's nerd. Questions are on Logopolis. We begin with Reese.
Nerd. Yes.
What borough council is displayed on the litter sign by the police box at the beginning of the story?
What council is?
There's a borough council, and its name is displayed on the litter sign by the TARDIS. Oh, sorry.
Master, I know.
No, hang on.
Given my tone, I obviously don't know, so give it to K-9 and Kirby.
Go on in, Kirby.
K-9.
I only read it on the sign.
Yeah,
Barnett?
Just give me the answer. Thank you. Barnett's fine. Right, Robert.
Okay.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
Who speaks the first word of the story?
Oh my goodness, what a question to ask.
I know.
Is it Aunt Vanessa?
Nope, not here.
Oh, I must be cheating.
Correct. Kirby.
So you don't count the policeman's muttering
then? Well, didn't say anything. Shut up.
You couldn't hear him say anything.
Kirby.
I could.
Master.
What is Tegan's first word?
Aunt Vanessa.
I know.
Aunt Vanessa, I guess. No. I don't know.
Say that every answer, isn't it? Aunt Vanessa. Go on in, Matthew.
Passport.
Correct. Matthew.
Yes.
What number is Auntie Vanessa's house?
I know.
43.
Oh, my
correct.
Goodness.
Sorry.
One off the right sort of answer.
Reese.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been looking at the Doctor Who locations webpage, and I noted that.
Yeah, never mind, that doesn't even matter, does it? It's neither here nor there.
Yes,
Reese.
It does.
42.
Reese, shush. Reese,
yes.
What
yes,
exclamation
yes.
does Tegan say when she discovers the flat tire?
Hell's teeth up, Vanessa.
Yep, and that was quite a good impression as well.
Thank you.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
Why does Adric open the TARDIS within the TARDIS?
So you put the telephone back.
Nick, anybody?
Huh?
To find out if the gravity bubble's coming from there.
Correct.
To Kirby. See if there's anything on the other side.
Master.
What was the name of the constable with the sergeant when he opened the police box? He says,
I don't know.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, go on then. Reese?
Davies?
Yes, there was a bit of Doctor Who relevance there, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Matthew.
Yes?
What do the Doctor and Adric do to the Omega configuration when they prepare to materialise underwater?
Do they cancel it out?
Not quite the word they used. Go on in, Kirby.
They fold it back.
Is correct.
Oh.
And after that round of questioning, and of course our little bonus section at the beginning of the episode, the scores are as follows. In joint second place, Rhys and Kirby with 8. In joint first place, Robert and Matthew with 10.
That was the scene where Adric was crawling around on the floor.
It was, right. Rhys.
Yeah. Yes?
On what London Bridge does the Doctor discuss the future with the Watcher?
I know.
How would he know that?
He knows. I don't know. I don't know. It's Kirby. His location.
No, I wasn't first. Okay.
It was Matthew.
Yeah, okay, give it to Matthew.
The Albert Bridge.
Right. Robert.
Yes.
What does the Master's TARDIS change into while in the coil... I'll start that one again. What does the Master's TARDIS change into while in the cloister room?
Changes into a plant.
Is correct. Kirby. What type of plant? No, Master. Kirby.
Why?
What does Master? Tegan say on meeting Adric and the Doctor? I'll give you points for accuracy.
Oh, I have a guess.
No, come on. This is Kirby.
It's the business where who's piloting this thing?
And I guess.
Really. Go on then, Rhys.
I demand to see whoever is in charge of this ship.
Spot on, 2 points.
Yes.
That's
what I had points down accuracy. Too.
Right, Matthew.
Yes.
Where is the fault in the mathematics?
Fourth section.
Anybody?
My goodness, that was a good guess, though.
Good, I managed to. You won't get this one. That one is dimensioning routine. Was the answer to that question?
Oh.
And after that round,
That's the first time in a while we haven't gotten something.
It's Kirby in last place with 8. It's Rhys in their third place with 10. In second place, Matthew with 11, and in the lead with 12, it's Robert. But for how long?
Precisely.
This is Rhys's question. What do Logopoluto? Because you talked over it, that put me off. That's your fault. What do Logopatolic? What do Logopolitans use computers for?
I don't know the exact phrase, but didn't they use the computers as kind of a backup if their calculations went wrong?
Video games.
No, not really. Anybody?
Okay, pass it on.
Something about advanced research?
Nope. Ah, I got another one. Ah, yay me,
that's
as
the
Mary
whole
would say.
CV.
Right, the answer is to record the code and prepare new algorithms.
There you go.
Oh.
Yeah, that. They'd be
Robert.
Yeah. Yes,
Robert, where does Tegan come from?
Brisbane in Queensland.
Never mentioned Queensland, so that's a point deducted. Just Brisbane.
No.
I'm joking.
That's an extra point because he told you exactly where it is.
No, it has to be part of the... Anyway, Kirby.
Master.
Who does a doctor thank when the TARDIS is restored to new normal size?
The monitor?
Yeah, that's what I said.
I'll give you a point for that. Anybody with the other person that got thanked?
And Tegan.
Correct.
Yeah.
Something. Lost out on a point there, Kirby. Matthew.
Did she head up?
No, I think you may have. Never mind.
No, the monitor and Tegan are standing there. Tegan was holding up the notepad or whatever, the printout or whatever that had the fit.
You've
stuff
got
on
all
it,
the
so
points.
He thanks both of them.
Okay. Rhys. Or is it Matthew? Sorry,
yes.
Matthew. It's Matthew's go, sorry.
Yes.
What does the Master emit to stop Logopolis? Hate that word, Logopolis. Right. What does the Master emit to stop Logopolis?
It's a sound cancelling.
Yes. Well, I'll give you that. Sound cancelling wave was the answer. Right, and after that round, in last place, Kirby with 9. In third place, Reese with 10. And hello. Jointly in the lead, Robert and Matthew with 14.
Hell's teeth.
Reese's go.
That's your new...
Yes.
What is Oh, for God's sake. What is Legopolis to the universe, according to the monitor?
I know. The keystone?
Is correct. Robert.
Whoa. Yes, sir.
What does CVE stand for?
Charge vacuum embodiment.
Yep. I like that. Oh, there was an S on the end of the word, but I'm not going to be that finicky.
I didn't.
Kirby.
Master.
What is the Doctor's response to the Master's together?
I don't remember.
The Doctor, the Master goes, together?
I know.
I'd love
Kirby, do you know the answer, Kirby?
No, I said
no. Go on then, Matthew.
One last hope, and then closes his eyes and they shake hands.
Correct. Right, Matthew.
Yes.
What happens to the Master after he leaves when the monitor dissolves?
He tries to get back to his TARDIS and all the polished styrene rocks fall on him.
Correct.
Solid rocks.
I'm not going to give a score update after that round. I'm going to move on to the next round straight away.
Ooh.
Therefore, Reese.
Yes?
Where does the Watcher take Adric and Nyssa?
I know.
Outside the universe?
I know,
I'll give you a point. I'll give you a point for that. It's not quite what
outside
you said.
Outside of space and time.
Nobody else came in. Robert gets sort of the other way around, actually, Robert. It was time and space, but I'm sure it doesn't really matter.
You said it right, Robert.
Yes. Right, Robert.
Yes, sir.
Where is Earth, according to Adric? Gives the coordinates, by the way, and he actually shouts them out.
Oh, no, I wouldn't get that. It was 80, I don't know. Go on.
No, not going to have a go.
Well, I had some right. 8017, I don't know.
No, no, no. Anybody?
No.
Oh, I've done it again. That's my third one. The answer
is half of it.
8023 of the third quadrant.
See, I knew the 80 then.
I'd like to give you a point for the 80 because you started getting it right. Kirby.
Mm. Master.
After Nyssa realises Traken is gone, what other planet does she pine over?
Oh, that's right.
Metula Orion.
No, I'm going to give you two.
Orionis.
It's Metula Orionis. Yeah. But it's right. It's good enough. Well done.
I know which one. Yeah.
Matthew.
Yes.
What is the Pharos Project technician listening to as the Master, Doctor, and Tegan arrive?
Classical music.
No, the specific piece of music.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
I ought to know this, but I don't, sadly.
Does anybody know it?
It's new!
Does anybody know it? Or am I going to get fourth?
Gone, Kirby.
Really? You don't know?
I don't know.
I'm really doing really well.
I should know, but I don't.
The answer, I thought you'd know, Kirby.
The answer is Schubert's Unfinished Symphony.
I wasn't paying any attention.
So you emailed Dr. Till, didn't you?
Clearly not, no. I looked at the info text. Reese.
I didn't get that far with my info text viewing.
Yeah, go on, Adam.
I can tell you the scores before we go into the last round, main round of questioning. In last place,
I'm losing
with 11 points. Is Kirby. In third place with 13 points is Reese. In second place with 17 points is Matthew, and in the lead with 18 points, Robert.
Those allergies really are getting to him.
Right,
Reese. Yeah, must be. Entropy.
Reese. Who leaves the TARDIS after Nyssa and Adric?
That would have to be the Watcher, wouldn't it?
That would be the Watcher. Robert. Yes.
Excellent.
What constellation is the CVE in line with?
Oh, I think I know.
Give Robert a chance.
Oh, I don't know. Go on, let them...
Reese came in that I know first.
I clearly have forgotten in the meantime. pass it on to Matthew. He's a lot quicker than I would.
Cassiopeia.
Correct.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Of course it's right.
Isn't it Cassiopeia?
Doesn't matter.
Kirby. Yeah, he says Cassiopeia. I remember that.
Yeah.
He also said, he said a different word differently in the Planet of Fire, too.
Doesn't matter. Kirby.
Yeah,
Master?
For me, he's
what image does the Doctor see in his mind? Sorry, I'll start that again. Watch what,
his mind's
whose
eye.
Whose image does the Doctor see in his mind while, oh yeah, his mind's eye, while he hangs by the cable?
Oh, I know.
You mean the enemies?
Yeah, but the first image he sees as he's hanging by the cable, who is the first one he sees?
Easy.
I know. I
believe it's said a I know. Is it a Dalek?
No. Robert?
No.
Nope.
It's the Master from the Deadly Assassin. Or it could have been from the Keeper. No, it was the Deadly Assassin.
It was the Deadly Assassin.
It doesn't matter which one it is, it's the Master. Yeah. Right.
It's the Decaying Face Master.
I can name them all, actually.
Never mind. Matthew.
If you want to.
Matthew. Ooh,
yes.
I'm losing my headphones. Right. Who calls out Doctor? Who's the first to call out Doctor as he lies on the ground?
I know.
Go on, Matthew.
Tegan.
Nope. Oh. Robert.
Oh!
You're thinking of the images that he sees in his mind, are you?
No, he's lying on the ground. And
oh, no, it's Edric. Edric Fish.
No.
I know.
Grace, no, you're going to get it right eventually.
It's got to be.
Go on then, Kirby. I will give you a point if you can get it right on this go.
Nyssa.
Correct.
Must well, that's Nyssa, unfair. Yeah. It was clearly Nyssa. How could he get a point for that?
Right. these
oh, by the way, I've got a bit of trivia with the lists. Oh. With all those images that he sees.
Yes.
The one of the Brigadier is incorrect because that was taken from Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Yeah, see.
Thank you.
Doctor.
Right, there's two questions left and these are free for all. Okay. So please indicate and be fair about this. Who's going to come in with the answer first? Right, the first free for all question is, who composed the incidental music for Lochopolis?
I know.
Oh.
I know.
That was Kirby.
Paddy Kingsley.
Came in first.
No, Kirby that was. Right.
I said Paddy Kingsley.
Last question. It's a free for all. Who directed Lochopolis?
I know.
That was Robert.
Peter Moffat. No. I mean, no, but
no.
Not Peter Moffat.
No, you got it wrong.
No, I got it wrong.
Get it wrong.
Matthew.
And died from leukemia.
Go on then, Matthew.
Yeah.
Peter Grimwade.
That's correct.
You know why? Because I started watching The Two Doctors, and that's directed by Peter Moffat.
Oh, dear. Seemed to jump in a little bit too hastily there. All right, so that means I've got to get a tiebreaker question. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
In Lochopolis, what is the first thing the Master's TARDIS is disguised as?
I know.
Go on, then.
As the police box.
Police box, correct.
I thought that was so obvious and easy, but unfortunately for you,
I
Robert,
knew that as well.
You should have said the blimmin' answer then, you silly man. Right. Therefore, the scores are this week in last place, Kirby with 14 points. In third place, Reese with 15 points. In second place, Robert with 19 points. And in the winner, Lord Voldemort, with 21 points. Well, essentially, Robert's the winner, but he should have won it anyway, but never mind. You threw it away a bit there, Robert.
No. Actually, I did have 15 titles at the beginning that I named, so...
Well, I'm sure the listeners will be listening intently to make sure I was wrong. Here we are, it's Isabella.
Hi.
You failed to watch all of what?
Doctor Who, and it wasn't my fault.
Yeah, but what's the episode called?
The Rings of Academia.
Yes, so what do you think?
Well, it was good because I've already watched it.
So what's good about it?
Well, the good part is, I like the end, actually.
I haven't got to the end yet.
Well, I've watched it already.
Yeah, so what do you think of it then?
Well, I think of it as good.
That's it, is it? What's your favourite bit then?
My favourite bit is the bit when Clara met Mary.
Who's Mary?
She's
Mary, I think you'll find it is.
Mary was a singer. Had to sing to the goat.
That's your favourite bit, is it, when she meets her?
Yeah.
Ooh, exciting.
You shut up.
So there then, is that your review of The Rings of Akaten?
I can't remember some things.
Okay, what one do you want to watch next?
What's the town called Murray like?
Don't you mean the town called Mercy?
Yeah, what's that about?
You know what it's about. You told me the other day.
Oh, yeah, about that. Was it the one which had Mr. Sweet in?
No, that's the Crimson Horror.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I want to watch.
You're not watching it again. That's not the
Why?
Because you've already talked about that. What episode did you try and watch earlier on?
The Unicorn and the Bee.
Yeah, so why didn't you want to carry on watching it?
Gary!
Okay, I suppose we better get off to school. We're a bit late now, aren't we?
Ginormous wasp!
Right, shall we get off to school then? Okay, bye.
Bye.
Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you.
You know, watching the two doctors, because I started watching that, and I was so distracted by Perry's memory glands.
Yes.
I'm sure just everybody else will be, apart from Mary, when they watch it. I'm just saying that, okay, now.
Apparently Jeff Kaplan very asked to join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, but somebody added him before I got a chance to. Who is that? And if you want to join the 20MB.2 podcast Facebook group, please do so. We have 176 members, two of which are Ian Kirk.
oh, yes.
Yeah, that's about it really for this week. Thanks for listening to the show. Please go to whoone.co.uk and look at their stuff. They're lovely stuff.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
That's what I said. Obviously don't say it clear enough. Just keep repeating me. Is that what they do in America? Do they just sort of keep sort of mentioning the sort of?
No, it's just my own little thing.
Oh, just wondered. They have got some new products, by the way. They've got the Sonic Screwdriver Torch, which actually would be quite useful. It's the 9th and 10th Doctor's Sonic Screwdriver Torch. It's $6.99.
Oh my! It has three settings.
Ooh.
And ladies, one of them isn't vibrate. It's just a torch. Okay. There's the Dalek Blueprints poster. Yeah, oops. Dalek Blueprints poster, and they've got a brilliant wristband Whovian. I don't like that word Whovian, but if you do like the word Whovian, you can have a wristband with the Whovian on it, which is quite good because it saves you getting a tattoo, doesn't it, really? As I got.
What do you have against the word Whovian, Adam?
I think it's a bit people just jumping on the Star Trek bandwagon. Oh, yeah. We must make a tag up for Doctor Who fans. Oh, I know, we'll do who something, Whovian, there we go. Rather than
Star Trek
fans being Trekkies, Whovian. No, Doctor Who fans are Doctor Who fans at the end of the day, not Whovians.
Is that Dalek blueprint poster the same one that my geek daughter has in her dorm room?
Well, if you go to whoone.co.uk and click on it, you'll have a
closer look. I just looked at it, so I'm going to go and look at.
It's 91 centimeters by 61 centimeters, which is quite big. It's nearly a meter.
Yeah, it is. Hmm. That's what she said.
Thank you, that Robert.
Wow.
So on that note, next week we'll be recording on Monday. Thank goodness for that.
Oh, thank gosh.
And we'll be talking about everybody. What is it? Let's see if you can remember.
The two doctors.
I do like the two doctors. Mind you, I seem to like all these stories. And soon we'll be putting together a list of forthcoming episodes to keep us going. And one of them will certainly, because I've decided off the top of my head, will be Spearhead from Space, whether you like it or not. So, in fact, I can tell you now, episode 189.
I'll have to watch an old
Spearhead
old
from Space.
I don't have a Blu-ray player.
Don't care.
I just watched the Blu-ray recently. I was only meant to be checking it out.
So, as I say, just a reminder for listeners. Just a reminder for listeners. 186 is the Two Doctors. 187, the Daemons. 188, the Pirate Planet. 189, Spearhead from Space. The others will be announced shortly. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, minus Mary. What a shame. I wish you'd come back. Yeah. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Grass, an evening spent on the patio, a day
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.